Good morning. Good to see you all. What a beautiful day we have again. We're managing to space the rain out between Sunday mornings, so we're grateful for that. Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church of Erhard, Minnesota. We're so happy to have you join us for this Sunday, July 19th time of worship. We invite you back again next Sunday, 10 a.m. right here, as this will be our new normal for a while. Bring a lawn chair as you're doing, and maybe water, although we have water and chairs available here if you need that. And obviously, if you wish to stay in your car, we'll get you parked up close. So if it rains, we will go into the sanctuary and spread out. So that's your call if it's raining, if you want to come or not. But we will still have church if it rains. We'll just be inside. There will be no congregational singing, though, if we move inside. So we've also decided that we're going with Confirmation Sunday on September 13th, and we're going to try it right out here. We've got 11 confirmands this year, and so we'll spread them out in chairs, and I think we're going to make it work. It's going to be great. Today, we continue to anchor ourselves in the Lord's forgiveness and His presence with us in our journey through life. And we open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our word of worship this morning is found in the book of Psalm 86, verses 11 through 13. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Let us pray. We pray for the suffering, O Lord, comforter of the sorrowing and strength of the weak. Hear our prayers for all who are suffering during this time of turmoil and distress, that whatever their needs, they may look to you in faith, receiving and knowing your help and comfort. Amen. Please join me in our opening hymn, hymn number 249 in the green hymnal, titled God Himself is Present.
Now adore him, and with all appear before him. God is in his temple, all within keep silence, prostrate lie with demons reverence. The throne surrounding. Holy, 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 hear the hymns ascending, songs of saints and angels blending. Bow your ear to us here. Hear, O Christ, the church now raises. Light of light eternal, all things penetrating, for your rays our soul is waiting. As the tender flowers willingly unfolding,
And in truth, adore you. That's a great introduction for what we're going to do right now. As we stand before God truthfully and confess to Him our sins, and then hear of the truth of His forgiveness. And let's do that right now. You want to turn to page 56 in your hymnal? We will do our brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's promise to us sinners from the book of 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim that promise together right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news for us this morning is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for His sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, He gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me by turning to page 65 in your hymnal, and let's confess our Christian faith as it's summarized in the ancient creed, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And may God's peace be to each and every one of you. Our first scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. The Lord, not idols. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first, and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know, not one. The word of the Lord. Our second reading is taken from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 through 27. Our present suffering and our future glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The word of the Lord. We've heard in these readings about the mightiness of God, but also the goodness and the kindness of God. And so He invites us at this time to bring our prayers to Him. And let's do that right now. We pray for guidance. O Lord God, You have called Your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet not trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that Your hand is leading us and Your love supporting us. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our society. Grant, O Lord God, that Your holy and life-giving Spirit may move every heart in the midst of our society's current unrest. May the barriers which divide us crumble. May our suspicions disappear and hatred cease, and that with our divisions healed, we might live in justice and peace for all. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for help in this pandemic. Keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and give Your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, and be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we do each Sunday, we pray for the persecuted church. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask Your mercy, O Lord, for Your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of Your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer.
As we prepare to receive the message that's been prepared for us by Pastor Brad from the Word, I'd like to invite you to open once again your hymnals to song number 235. We'll be singing together, Break Now, the Bread of Life.
Break now the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As once you broke the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek you, Lord. My spirit waits for you, O living Word. Bless your own truth, dear Lord, to me. As when you bless the bread by bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. You are the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Yes, holy word, the truth that rescues me. Give me to eat and live with you above. Teach me to love your truth, for you are love. Oh, send your spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within your word, and in your book reveal I see my Lord.
Sure where my reading glasses went, but did they? Okay. Well, we'll try it like this, if you don't mind the shades. It is pretty bright up here. Well, I don't imagine Jesus was wearing sunglasses when he fed the 5,000, but I could imagine it in a setting like this. A grassy knoll, and our Lord broke the bread and fed 5,000. And our sermon text for this morning is from the Gospel of John, and it follows up that miracle of the feeding of 5,000, where our Lord took 5 barley loaves and fed 5,000 people, and then they picked up 12 large baskets full of leftovers. It was an amazing miracle, and that text in John 6 tells us that the people wanted to come and take him by force and make him king. Who wouldn't want a king like that? But Jesus withdrew, went across the lake. But they followed him, and the very next day then, he sat down with them, probably in a setting just like this, and gave what is known as his bread discourse. And so let's pray as we prepare ourselves to hear this text from John chapter 6. Lord, break now your bread of life to us, your word. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would enlarge our faith to receive what you have for us today from your word. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The text for today is John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. Jesus, the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The word of the Lord. We see here kind of the collision of two different worldviews. A worldview anchored in reality with physical bread, and a worldview anchored in spiritual things that are eternal. But through it all, God gives kindness. He gives us kindness in this life, and he gives us kindness for the next. You know, it was my senior year of high school when Kevin and I tore up the rules. It was school by day and drinking and troublemaking and some fighting at night. It all came crashing down one night when I had to call my dad from the police station and ask him to come up and pick me up. Now, Kevin's dad took a hard stand with him, taking his car keys away from him, grounding him, but it didn't work. It only inflamed his rebellion. My dad, however, took a different approach with me. He said this on our very quiet drive back from the police station that night. He said, "Brad, whatever happens, I will always be proud to call you my son." I wasn't worthy of that grace, but it changed me. I wanted to honor his love for me. It was a lesson in God's grace. And that grace that he gave me at that moment pointed me heavenward. And God's kindness points us heavenward also. You see, there's two kinds of bread that we experience in our life. Of course, God provides bread for my body. We see the reference to manna in this text back to Exodus 16, when God sent bread from heaven to cover the ground for the Israelites so they could eat. And then we see in John chapter 6 where Jesus fed 5,000 people. We pray it every time we pray the Lord's Prayer: "Give us this day our daily bread." But I need spiritual bread for my soul. Remember the words of our Lord: "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see, God uses his gift of earthly bread to us to point us to his gift of eternal bread in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's his way of grace. His kindness points us heavenward. So our Lord's teaching in this bread court discourse, we can gain some points if we just pick our way through it a little bit. The first thing we see out of his bread discourse is that God's way of grace confronts me. Remember what Jesus said in verse 26, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus identifies why they were really there. But that didn't stop him. He didn't, in disgust, just walk away from them. Jesus had walked away from the crowd because they wanted to come and by force and make him king of earthly bread. You see, if bread is the only thing I need to survive, my pursuit of bread then is all I need. But our Lord knows different. But it's trouble when we start to determine our own needs. This is why Jesus confronts them so harshly. They were determining what they needed. And of course, this takes us back to the garden, to Adam and Eve. You know, throughout the creation account, we read that God saw and then he pronounced it good. And in chapter 3, when Adam and Eve see the fruit of the tree and decide that it's good, we know what happened. You see, we don't do a very good job of seeing things and pronouncing them good. We seem to get it wrong every time. So this is why Jesus had to confront them. You see, because of my selfishness, I too look at my earthly gifts more than God's heavenly gifts, and certainly more than the heavenly giver. But Jesus doesn't stop here. He doesn't stop with just confronting. Because you see, God's way of grace calls me too. He continues on in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. You see, God's way of grace makes his earthly gifts into signs. What is a sign but something that points beyond itself to a greater reality? His signs of earthly provision for us point us to the reality of the eternal gifts given to us in his Son. Jesus calls me here away from obsessing over temporary things to receive his eternal friendship. I live in a world of work, earn, and possess what is mine. God's way is, here is the gift of my Son. Receive him freely. God's way of gift and grace sounds strange to me because they are unconditional gifts to me. But I live in a conditional world. And that brings us to our third point from this beautiful discourse. God's way of grace is unconditional. Notice what Jesus said in verses 28 and 29. Then they said to him, what must we do? It's a very human question, isn't it? Surely we have to do something to earn this gift of heaven. What must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And we know that part of that belief is a confession that we really can't do anything. We need him to do it all. You see, our conditional world says, if we want heaven, then we must work. God's unconditional way of grace says, the work of God is to believe in Jesus who has done all the work for you. That's what he did by living a perfect life, dying for our sins on the cross, and then rising again to deliver it all to us. You see, even our faith to believe this is God's work. By giving us a faithful Savior, he creates faith to trust in him. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You see, all God wants from me is for me to turn my hands upward to him in emptiness and receive what he has done for me and then praise him for it. Conditional versus unconditional. Our world is conditional. We live in an if-then world, but God's way, God's world is unconditional. I love this statement by Gerhard Fürthe in his book, The Preached God. He says this, we do not know what to do with an unconditional gift or promise. Virtually our entire existence in this world is shaped, determined, and controlled by conditional promises. Conditional promises always have an if-then form. If you eat your spinach, then you will get your pudding, right? But the saving act of God in Jesus Christ is an unconditional promise. Unconditional promises have a because therefore form to them. Because Jesus has overcome the world and all enemies by his death and resurrection, therefore, and only for that reason, you shall be saved. End of quote. Our final point from our Lord's teaching today is that God's way of grace is eternal. And we certainly see this in our text. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." And then a little later, he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Those are eternal statements. The necessary manna for earthly survival was not from Moses, but it was a gift from God's heavenly hand to point them upward to him. In a similar way, God calls us to see our earthly bread as his sign that points to his heavenly gift of Jesus. Jesus, the true bread necessary for eternal life. Jesus is the only bread that really matters. Praise be to God. And it's all free. It's unconditional. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are true bread which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Forgive my anxious concern over bodily food and clothing, and fill me with a joy and confidence in my Father's care. Grant me such faith that I may cherish the food that endures to eternal life, the food that you give me as a gift, and then find all my other daily needs provided by you also, pointing me heavenwards. Lord, in your mercy, hear my prayer.
My Redeemer is faithful.
He gives more grace to me.
Thank you, Amy. Let's come to our Lord in a word of prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, we come to you as our faithful and true Redeemer. Lord, so many times we don't even know how to pray. Our vision is so clouded by what we want. But you have come to us with what we need, and we're grateful for that. Lord, we pray today for those who are suffering in any way, whether from the pandemic or personal crisis or both. Lord, you are faithful and true, and you have come into our fallen and broken world and experienced all its pain and separation, and you connect with us and you are with us. So, Lord, grant us faith to look to you during this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, receive our prayer now as we pray the prayer that you yourself have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to join us in singing the doxology found on page 565. And we're going to add that chorus that we've been singing in the past, this past winter. Praise God, praise God, praise God who saves my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. That part is not in your hymnal, but it's pretty easy to catch on.
From whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God, praise God. Save my soul. Praise God.
God's peace be to each and every one of you, and receive his blessing today. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God. Thanks be to God.
Joy shall never end.